Episode 369.
You've got to throw some cold water on this situation. Start talking about nerd stuff.
You know, nerd culture is mainstream now, so when you use the word nerd derogatorily, it means you're the one that's out of the zeitgeist.
System activate.
This is Netheads with Will Wilkins.
It's a tech podcast. Tech podcast.
But we are a ton cooler than your typical geek.
You guys rock.
And now, here's Will.
No one listens to the radio. I wasn't even listening. I was listening to podcasts. Podcasts are great. Radio's boring.
That's what I keep telling everybody, whether they like it or not. Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Netheads. My name is Will.
And I'm telling
you. Why are you so misframed? It's like the system wants to prank me every single time. And nobody wants to hear a podcast bitching about, oh, this tech thing just stopped working. Da-da-da-da-da-da. So we'll try and avoid that. Well, the nice thing is, I finally figured out, Tony, if I may, diverge from all of the typical Netheads nonsense that I usually do and kind of veer in a new direction. We always record something for the Patreon subscribers at the beginning of this bonus audio. But one of the other things I finally determined how to do, because I've always had the biggest problem with reconciling doing the show and coming up with a way for this program to be valuable to them as well. And look at that, Miranda Janelle is already shouting you out in the chatosphere, my friend. By the way, guys, if you're looking at this, you need to tell me if anything was weird or washed out, because I am working on a new 49-inch parabolic monitor, and it is just insane. It is, my whole world has been changed. Anyway, we'll come back to the monitor later. I finally figured out last week how to do it right. Mm-hmm. Now, everybody gets to see this nonsense as it goes live. So, you know, if you are scratching your nose or messing with your ears or something, people will pick that up. There's no change in it. It's going to be out there. Or if there's a horrible mistake, let's say you do an entire segment where you're trying to tell people what are the two new robots you're interested in, and you want them to vote for which one. And when the audio is going out, you can't hear the audio on the video, but everyone else can, and it's completely drowning you out. That sucks, right? It's not good. Mm-hmm. But it's the raw version of the product. So this video that goes out is that. When we record this, it's the completely unpolished thing, because for some reason, I always dig that live vibe. I have no idea why, but I loves it. Maybe it's because I grew up and loving radio, and in some ways, I feel like by doing it live, we're recreating the whole radio vibe. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's just because originally I used to say I'm lazy, and if we actually got everything perfect from beginning to end, there would be no editing needed. Regardless, this first pass, everyone gets for free because it's, you know, potentially total garbage and I need to use audio backup to fix. However, after we have done this, once I determine what the fate of this episode is, more than likely, it's always going to be pulled down because there's always something about the audio that's going to bug me. So because of that, and because I do the special video with bonus audio for our Patreon subscribers, I said, you know what? Another way this could be added value is the rendition of that complete train wreck, this first pass. It can go out live to everybody because it's junk as it goes, but we'll save the polished product for everyone after. And this goes back to being private for the Patreon subscribers. So they can get twice the amount of Netheads, even though it's the exact same thing. And one of them guaranteed to be worse than the other, if you can dig that. So I was excited about that revelation. It's always nice when you get a good idea, right?
I'll be honest with you. I personally think that live recordings are some of the best things out there. I love doing fandoms live. I don't try to go back and do the post editing. I know you are very much a perfectionist, which is not a bad thing. But, you know, I love, maybe it's because I'm just a lazy person. I prefer not to do a whole lot more editing than I have to be. And so I think with Twitch and with everything else, you know, a lot of people, I think some of the most successful Twitch players or Twitch streamers are not even doing video game content. They're doing their own live thing, their own original thing. I think there's a need for that because TV is going away. So what does that mean for, you know,
Tony, in the future, everything is Disney Plus. That's what I've determined.
Well, that's the thing. So with Nerd Initiative, we were having a discussion because we were talking about like how the articles are set up on the website. And one of the things I was like was, okay, if we change the menus, are we going to do like movies, TV, streaming? And then, you know, our editor, Metal Corners, was like, well, everything is streaming now. If it's live, it's going to be streaming the next day on Hulu. So you might as well just say everything is streaming at this point. I'm like,
yeah, okay, streaming is just completely redundant. And, you know, not to mention, I'm sure in your household and in mine, honestly speaking, the only reason why I have live TV is because it was part of the Hulu package to have my Disney Plus bundled in. And it was also, at the time, I was recording live programming still, because even though the CW would give you the Flash for free on the app the day after, I liked being able to have that crisper, clearer, I like watching my TV on my TV kind of vibe. And so, and I can skip over the commercials because I was recording via Hulu Live, which also included recording. We also have it because that's like the only way, that's the most cost-effective way we determine my wife could watch baseball. Because she's, I always love saying this, you know, my wife's this big San Francisco Giants fan, and you know, my dad called me a communist for not watching the World Series. So there you go. That's
yeah, so we never did the Hulu package or the Hulu bundle, because we already had Hulu free with our cell phone service. Mm-hmm. And then we got Disney Plus. And then it was just recently that I realized there really is no pay-per-view anymore. Like, pay-per-view is gone. If you really think about it, it's just called on demand now. And it was the first time I ever watched. And again, I was a big pro wrestling fan back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And so like the WCW and the WWE like competition and everything, I was all a part of that. And then every time I wanted to go watch a pay-per-view as a teenager, we would pay for it, but it always never seemed to work. So we just sat through squiggly lines and listened to the commentary. And now, what was it? Royal Rumble's coming up, I think, or WrestleMania. And Royal Rumble, I think, was the one that was just on. And I just was able to pull it up on Peacock now. And it's baffling that we've gotten to this point in society where something that was so difficult or was like important, like, well, you get the one person who would get something on pay-per-view and then they would just, you know, everybody came to your house then.
Man, I've got so many ideas right now. First of all, you reminded me of when I would be visiting my dad, because my parents were divorced, but during my time with my dad, he had a cable box in the house, right? And if I worked it just right, I could catch, because it was a dial switch box. See, kids, back in the day, cable actually used to come from a box that sat on top of your TV, and we didn't have a remote for it, and somebody just had to turn a dial on it, if you could imagine such a thing. And it just so happened with this cable box and whatever the frequency probably was of Showtime, if I caught the wheel just right, it would be free Showtime for us. But other than that, it was a lot of listening to cool stuff as well. But also, you have to remember, it's so easy for you now because we're still in the midst of the streaming wars, okay? Years from now, we'll all have been veterans of the streaming wars, Tony, when we finally have bowed down to our Lord and Master Disney Plus, Amazon, Netflix, whatever it is.
Which is what the name is probably
going to
be.
It's like, going to be Disney Plex Amaza.
Or it's going to be Disney Plus, Amazon Plus, Netflix Plus, whatever else they've absorbed. Yeah,
and the reason why we're making these jokes, kids, is because it is official that Disney Plus and Hulu. Well, Hulu exists within Disney Plus. Ladies and gentlemen, a streaming service has consumed another streaming service and is keeping it alive inside.
Well, you know, this is Netheads. So let me throw this out there. You've got Disney Plus, you've got Hulu, you've got these other things. Are you at all using them on a VPN?
No.
Will Wilkins.
What?
You need to turn on your VPN to like the UK or like to another country and then access your Disney Plus. Or then access, because stuff that is not available in this region that's available in other regions, you can then jump onto and get that content.
It sounds like work.
But
then you're going to tell me, but Will, don't you realize that most...
Do you ever use a VPN?
No.
You've never used a VPN?
Oh, no, no. Pardon me. Yes, I've used a VPN. I'm not using one.
Okay.
Actively.
Do you have like a VPN that you can use? I'm just saying.
I mean, probably. I mean, more than likely, since I have an aftermarket modem, I'm more than likely probably able to also turn it on at the router level, but or modem level. But no, in most cases, I don't bother. But you know, look, we're streaming on the internet right now. There's very little about my life that is hidden from anyone, Tony. I'm already exposed, which probably actually would serve the argument that I should be using a VPN, so that way I know I'm further insulated one way. I'm not saying people are seeking me out, okay? I'm not that level of delusional or narcissistic. I'm just saying there's a lot of my information out there because, unfortunately, I've been involved with the internet, I'm going to say easily since 1999. Okay, I hate to date myself in such ways because you see, kids, before the year 2000, there was an entire group of decades where all of this technology was finally falling into place to give me my perfect world where I could sit in front of a 49-inch monitor. And there were rough times, but we finally got here. The whole point is that unless I were specifically just trying to protect my activity, I don't really have deep concerns. I don't talk about this a lot, Tony. Okay. I don't typically discuss my world outside of what this is. And the only thing I'll say is that professionally speaking, I specialize in IT security. It's the one thing I don't really bring up. And that's the most you'll hear me say about it. But yeah, so
you heard it here, folks. Will Wilkins doesn't practice what he preaches.
I just know. I just understand the points of risk mitigation versus risk. And
right.
Like the fact that there are things in place on all of these machines and a little bit in advance of the router for the network, you know, I'm not really openly concerned. It's most of the stuff that's not within this domain, within my control, that I have to be worried about. For example, my mortgage company, right? I got a notice the other day, and I knew this notice was coming because I pay all of my bills online. And at the beginning of the year, I went to go make my first mortgage payment of the year. And they're like, hey, we can't take mortgage payments online due to a security concern. We've shut down our portal. Call in. Or, you know, we'll make no late payments for payments all the way through the end of the month. So, and they did bring it up by then. Sure enough, I knew it was coming based on that notification that they had a data breach. So, you know, now my information is out there. I mean, I kid you not, man, because of how many breaches I've been involved in, I think I have a lifetime supply of credit monitoring accounts. Okay. And the only problem is that every one of them is going to be emailing you, even when you unsubscribe.
Okay, so I'm one of the people, and this, it's sad to say that this dates me because we're at PS5s now, and this is talking about the PS3. But do you remember the PlayStation Network breach that took out the PlayStation Network for what was it, like almost 3 months?
I do, in fact, remember that. That was a major thing at the point where I'm like, man, I'm glad I don't even have a PlayStation.
Oh my goodness. Like they ended up giving like us, they gave us credit monitoring software. And then we got like 2 free digital games once we were able to actually get back on the network again.
That must've been maddening times. I'm glad I was a functioning adult at the time.
Oh, good.
Dude, you look, listen how sad. Okay, if you want to get into it, okay? I did have an original PlayStation. I remember that. But then I don't think I came back until the PS4. And the only reason why I got it, this should come as no surprise, was so I could play the Spider-Man game. Okay? The only reason I have a PS5 is so I could play the Miles Morales game. All right?
And then Spider-Man 2.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So.
And did you.
No,
did you,
I haven't.
Did you
look,
see
I, here's the thing. My life is so busy right now. I have not obtained any of these games yet, even though I have the PS5, only because I know I don't have the time to do it. I remember what happened to me.
Well, listen, even if you don't have time, the Miles Morales game, you will have time for, because it literally is not that long.
Is it also not that much then? Because come on, guys.
Yeah, it really should have been like, it should have been like Spider-Man 1.5, because it was a much, I think the only complaint I had for that game was it was a really short game.
You know,
but it was really something fun that you could do on a Christmas break, because it's a Christmas theme.
Ah, well, the nice thing that I will say, man, this is just a wild roller coaster of information, folks. Buckle in. I don't know where the car is going anymore. I gotta say that one of the things, because I kind of was on a journey. Actually, I think I may have gotten a PS4 because I wanted to play the Arkham games. I think that's what it may have actually been the instigator.
Good reason.
And
good
I think
reason.
That's the Spider-Man game is like the last thing that I cared about or playing. But one thing I'll say about at least my experience with the original Spider-Man game, or Marvel Spider-Man, right? That's the way they distinct it. Make a distinction, which, by the way, the funnest part I would think about playing these games is seeing the places where in the Spider-Man movies they end up putting in some of the moves or moments from the games. For example, Homecoming, as he's swinging off to meet, that was Far From Home, as he's swinging off to meet Mary Jane, he literally does the pose and takes the picture the way you can when you're taking a picture in the game. Literally. Mm-hmm. Okay. The one thing I'll say about that gameplay, though, versus the Batman Arkham Asylum games, I used to hate what I just referred to as the perch sections. I'm like, oh gosh, it's another one of these stupid stealth rounds where I'm going to have to be going around and I got to find just the right moment to drop the guy or bring him down. And I'm sorry, those got monotonous, bro. Heavily.
Well, I'll tell you, you lean more into it with the Spider-Man game because you realize sometimes dodging every villain is not an easy task. So you'll go for the perching and for the silent takedown.
My only complaint about the Spider-Man game, at least my experience just playing the first one, is that it didn't have those moments. The most tedious thing that bothered me about that game was these stupid segments where we're reconnecting the circuits and getting the data flowing so that way we get the next bit of information or we unlock the new tech. You know what I'm talking about? It's just like, oh, you got to turn one this way, that one that way. And it's just like, we're well beyond. This is essentially a handheld game from a goddamn BlackBerry that you're forcing me to sit through. Let me just get to the gameplay. Just give me the cool thing and get beyond that. But like, not that for being a complaint, believe me, that's really small. Okay. Cause that's not a big portion of the games. Not to mention,
well, just
to
let you know, Spider-Man 2 solves that problem though, because it's a lot more haptic interaction with the game. So it'll be good.
Very cool. Well, I look forward to it. I just need to, I got three things I know that I'm backed up on right now, and I'm not talking about my digestive system. So, I can't delve into the gameplay, but what I was saying quite a few moments ago, possibly three topics ago, the reason why you were so easily able to pull up the wrestling show that you did is because somebody else determined it had value for their streaming service and would bring in members. Mm-hmm. So they licensed it or they partnered with. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, again, it's all about the streaming services and their crazy drive for subscribers. Now, the thing I don't understand in this streaming mania world, I get Netflix and I kind of get Hulu because I'm sure in some way they have venture capital or some type of deep bank financing, right? They've got things to carry them along as long as they hit certain metrics. Other places are willing to dump money into these things because they believe in the long run it's going to pay off. And if that doesn't sound like funding a war, I don't know what is. So we really are in the streaming wars. The player that I don't understand how they're competing right now in this is Disney, because they're not probably playing those other reindeer games. They're a major company that makes their own dough. So I don't understand why they're really delving into this risk other than they're just waiting to bring it all down. Now, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Your point.
Okay, so to bring it all full circle, we're talking about consoles, we're talking about streaming services. I stopped buying consoles after the GameCube, and I thought I was never going to buy another one. And then what happened was I was at somebody's house, and they had a PlayStation 3, and they showed me how they were able to port the entire catalog of Hulu into the PlayStation 3, so you could basically create your own streaming service through the PlayStation.
Oh, wow.
And this is before they did. I mean, this was back when they were still doing like the discs for Netflix that you had to run like it wasn't a download yet to run the software. It was, you had to put a disc in your console to play the game, play the streaming service. And so I had Hulu ported in. And for the dumbest reason, I wanted to watch Silver Spoons. But regardless,
look, man, like, I'm not like Rick Schroeder is a goddamn artist that may have gone all MAGA, but whatever.
So I did that, and like, you know, of course, watching Alf and all those other things. And so then I got into the gaming. I was a PlayStation 4 fan because of the PlayStation 3, was highly disappointed, sold the system, and then I turned around and bought it again when Spider-Man came out.
I wasn't
going to buy a PlayStation 5 until I realized that was the only way I was going to get Spider-Man 2, and I wasn't going to do it. My family ended up buying it for me. And again, it's another console that just sits there for the most part. My kid plays it, but the streaming services are becoming a thing. And this is where we talk about games, we talk about streaming services, because I think what Disney's end game is to control everything as one thing. Because their deal with Epic Games to create this Disney world that is not going to only just, it's not just digital content. I'm thinking that you're going to be able to watch shows through this service. And at the same time, you can also buy physical merch. It's the closest thing to the Oasis that we're going to get to until, you know, Apple goes and stops, you know, charging so much for their Vision Pros. But thankfully, they're $200 cheaper. No, so,
hold $200. Thanks, guys. Wow. Such a generous deep. Look, I'm not going to buy this generation one of any of that crap because it is no matter what, it is always going to be the worst version of this product. As it ages, it will be the worst version of the product because it was the first version of the product.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm willing to wait on that. And plus, I think like one of the things we already covered on NetHeads as well was that, you know, as we were approaching that 30-day return window, they were starting to see a lot of return traffic. So,
but just remember, Apple has a different trend with their technology, whereas when things become more, you know, widespread and more manufactured, they become cheaper. Apple tends to go the other direction and become more expensive.
Yeah, that's true.
I remember when. Yeah. So and like this is the headline. This is the saddest thing. Amazon has the new Apple 2024 MacBook Air laptop on sale for $100 off in its biggest discount yet.
Oh, man. I can't. But, you know, then again, the one thing that you always have to give credit to Apple about is the longevity of their products. For example, last show I had to move my entire sound solution that plays all the funny sounds over to a stick PC because the 2012 13-inch MacBook that was previously doing that finally gave up the ghost. So, you know, they do, they are a bit of not an investment, but you'll definitely get your dollar's worth at least up to this point out of their products, says the guy with way too many of their products. I look around me and I'm starting to think maybe I'm the reason why the economy is recovering, because I'm not, but I make poor decisions, man. Anyway, that's neither here nor there.
I don't know if it, and that's the thing. Like, I don't even know if the economy needed to recover, because did you heard this, the FTC report where they're finding out that like these major like grocery stores, but you know, everybody else is doing it too. Big box stores and everything else, where they adjusted the prices higher because of the shortages during the pandemic, but they never stopped doing it even when the shortages stopped.
Yeah, because if people
and
are,
so you it, know, because, we're just paying for
yeah,
more.
Yeah, because we proved we were willing mm-hmm. to pay for those things, but dumb logic on their part, especially considering inflation. By the way, I also just wanted to call out in the chat, probably one of the first of all, Zach's harassing me, says the guy with Google Glass. Yes, definitely. Hence the bad decisions. But Mario Killed You a little while ago had messaged and said, "You got to use your hands? That's a baby's toy."
Oh, that's
so
that's
that
hilarious.
That might be the chat quote of the night, but you know, the night's not over yet.
Well, listen, don't feel bad about the Google Glass. Mm-hmm. I actually had the Amazon Ring, the Echo Ring.
I mean, we keep making these comparisons, and then I whip out the Amazon Frames, Alexa Frames. I think they're just called Frames. Anyway, they're glasses. Which, by the way, don't know why I ever wanted them, never used them. Sounded interesting, now it's dumb. I the consumerism thing, though, is kind of getting to me, because I often joke, I don't know if you saw a lot of Community, the NBC show that ran for 5 seasons on NBC and mm-hmm. 1 year on Yahoo. Yeah. And in there, the sixth season that I often wondered before streaming how many people actually had seen, because it was on Yahoo, had some of the finest gems in it that the series ever had. So much so that on a regular basis, I reference the fact that I'm a level 7 susceptible, okay? I definitely am, right? You know, it's like, I need the Honda CR-V for its reliability, don't I? One of the things that, in scrolling the addictive app that we met through, not Grindr, get people. One of the things I saw that I thought, oh, that's cool, even though it's not practical because it's way under the volume I regularly drink out of, it's these specialized cups, right? It's like a mason jar, but it's got a tapered bottom so it fits in a cup holder. It's got a bamboo lid and a glass straw. It's just an entire package begging to break and make me weep the thought of the purchase.
Well, I go with the metal tumbler.
That's a good solid idea, especially since I've got a penchant for spilling lemonade in this office, so a wider base is preferred. But I saw these and I thought they would be neat because I thought, you know, even though I don't really drink out of that volume of, it's usually 32 ounces or above, guys, but don't worry, it's the raspberry lemonade, it's not anything else. But I thought, oh, the family might like these, even though, again, glass straws, I don't know what the hell I was thinking. But it was an interesting thing because it came up in my feed, and then I did what I thought was the next logical thing. I compared what it was showing me to what's available through Amazon, pitting the two titans against one another, or this David and Goliath story. And I often do this if I see something that I think is interesting, but I'm like, does it really have the great discount that they're offering, even if you include, because one of the things TikTok does to incentivize people to make them the next Temu is, wait, it's Temu, right? Temu, that's what we learned from the Super Bowl?
I still call it Temu.
But they said Temu. They want to, you know, TikTok wants to be the next Temu as well. And so they will, no matter what product you have, they will throw money into the transaction to offer a code. So you see a coupon code or a discount code, they're fitting the bill for that. Uh-huh. So the people selling, they love it because they're selling their product still, not losing any money on the deal, and everybody else thinks they're getting an amazing deal. So I saw those there.
But I will say Temu is more legitimate than I thought it was. I've actually bought a lot of things off of them and I've not been dissatisfied.
Yeah, I'm in no way disparaging them, and nor do I mean to. I'm just saying this is obviously what the app is competing against. But I'll often, if I see something interesting, I'll compare Amazon against the talk of ticks. And in this case, TikTok won. Most of the time, they really don't. But those tumblers are really neat. I don't know why. I'm not pushing them. Or there's no link in bio or anything. But, you know.
Maybe there
will be. But I am a sucker for obviously purchasing things. Now, you, on the other hand, I wouldn't say you're not getting looped into things, but Tony, I think I want to give you a new title officially. I know you're Mr. Marvelite in some circles, but what I'm thinking is I want to call you, you're the bargain hunter, sir. You're the bargain bounty hunter is what you are. You're going to find those deep discounts and you're going to bring them in. I want to give you a moment, if you don't mind, to talk about what I think is one of your coolest recent acquisitions, which you found at Discount at Micro Center and is now making so much possible in the way of 3D printing. What did you stumble across, sir?
So if you don't know, if you're wanting to get into 3D printing, and of course, everybody will tell you to jump into the Ender 3 Pro or something that's, you know, smaller like that. For a really good deal. I'm talking about online, this 3D printer, and I'm talking about the Creality K1 Max, is going for about, I want to say between like $900 and something to a little bit over $1,000, depending on what the functions are. Micro Center, if you go in store and purchase it, it's like $699. The Creality K1 Max is a really large 3D printer that not only is simple to use and easy to learn, you can control it with your phone. I typically will, like before I go to bed, I'll pull up one of the 3D print models or the 3D files on my phone that I wanted to use, and I will send it to the printer while I'm laying in bed. And it has LiDAR, so it's actually using AI to balance the platform. That was something that if you've ever had like a fail on your print in any 3D printer, it's usually because you didn't do the little due diligence every couple prints to make sure everything was leveled and everything was taken care of. The only failed print I have had on this printer is because I didn't follow the instructions, because it's an encased with tempered glass. But if you're using PLA, you have to take the top glass panel off and just leave it off to the side.
So it can vent some of the heat out.
Open air. Yes. So it can vent some of the heat out, because there's a spacer that seals the heat in really well and it causes a fail. And I didn't do that. And the morning I came in and it wasn't printing. So you push a button and you retract the filament and you can just pull it out, you know, go back, redo it, and it's perfectly fine. I have, and then on top of that, like if you were to go on my Patreon, I've been printing a lot of 3D, you know, 3D files, but it has a built-in time-lapse video. There's a camera built into the printer. I've been doing time lapses like crazy. It is the best experience that I have had. The only thing I can say is it's very loud, so make sure it's away from whatever you're doing, as long as you don't mind, you know, hearing a fan and because it does its thing. But it's amazing. I absolutely love it, and I highly recommend it.
And I too would say that the even though they recalled them all, and I'm not supposed to be using it, the Bamboo Lab A1, I have the exact same experience. It's not enclosed, and it's also not as loud, because I don't know, they do some funky thing where they do some type of sound test, and then it retunes everything to be much quieter. It uses elements of sound against other elements of sound to neutralize them, I guess. Fan speeds or fan, I don't know. It's some type of voodoo. I don't get it, but it works. And it's funny you bring up like the cool discount that you were able to get at Micro Center for that printer, because I don't know if I paid with that was for the combo price, but I'm predicting there are rumors about that there'll be an announcement on April 1st from Bamboo that won't be a joke. And the rumor that I like, is the best way I'll put it, is that they are going to announce the A1 Max. If they do that, I guarantee you it will probably have a price of like $899. and it'll probably have a build plate, because I have build plate envy. You have a build plate that's like 300 millimeters by 300 millimeters, whereas mine I think is 230 by 230. And believe it or not, folks, that little bit of size, those what is that, 70 millimeters? Yeah, those 70 millimeters it makes the difference between having to, say, print a Mandalorian helmet in pieces versus and having to do molding, or having being able to just print out a full Mandalorian helmet on your build plate. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Which you
yeah.
could probably get away with even with a head my size. Like,
yeah, because mine's 300 by 300 by 300.
Yeah, that's that 300 cubed is, oh, that's pretty. That's really pretty. And that's the kind of thing I would love to have as well. But, you know, there's only so much I can keep doing in 3D printing without gaining an overabundance of extra crud that I don't need around the house. You know what I mean? Because I've already got that problem. And then,
well, let me also tempt you with this, because as I've been using the Creality app to send prints, you get their, it's kind of like their Cura points or whatever they call it. They're like coins for every time you upload a file, even if it's private. You get like one coin for uploading it. You get like two coins for slicing. You get so many coins for actually printing. Like, they encourage you to utilize their app and to do stuff. And if you get to a certain level, you can actually turn in those points for just doing what you would normally do by printing things. And you can buy spools of filament with it. You know, there's like, it's like they reward you for using their technology, which it's been a very interesting like situation. And then I don't know if this is because I've been searching 3D printers recently, but I've been getting a lot of ads on like Facebook and stuff like that for like subscription 3D printing
opportunities,
memberships. Yeah. So like for every month that you do it, they send you like a file of like, cause like right now my big thing is I'm trying to get into D&D, and like I'm in the process of building like a little tavern.
Yeah, and I hear rumor of a gaming table.
Yes, which is still just leaning up against the wall.
It's literally me. It only exists now, I think, for me just to bust your balls online on a regular basis.
Oh no, it exists down here for me to trip over and everything else. And I'll tell you, when you have this idea that you're going to make content as a content creator, you have no motivation.
The well dries up.
Whereas when, as soon as you don't have time to make content, you get like, oh, I have this idea. I have this idea. I want to do this. I want to do that.
Tony, recently I've learned that's ADHD, and it's deferring tasks or executive dysfunction. It's much easier to do the content than it is to sit down and do the work kind of thing.
Listen, I may be the founder of Nerd Initiative. And that's the only reason why it's executive. I think for me, it's just regular dysfunction for the most
part. Amen, brother. Hey, I don't mean to break up this wild roller coaster of non sequiturs, but I got another non sequitur. And since we threw it in the title, it's probably best to talk about. Tell me what your perspective is on what Marvel is doing. Now, mind you, the thing you have to remember when it comes to Marvel movies this year, you got one. You get one, folks. They're putting all their money on Deadpool and Wolverine. Daredevil and Wolverine. I'd watch that too. Anyway, they're putting all their money in Deadpool and Wolverine. Iger is like, we got to save some money, folks. We got to dial this business back. But now they've been teasing us with certain projects for a long time. And one of them was the Thunderbolts. What do you think their game is here? Because there was a clip that is on the internet where Florence Pugh is walking around showing us certain elements of what she's doing in Atlanta right now, and it's all of the Thunderbolts. However, when we see like the reveal of what the project is, it's not the Thunderbolts, it's just Thunderbolts with an asterisk. And the other funny part is this is all very, of course, staged, because the only place I've seen the video released is through the official Marvel account. So what are they playing at, Tony? What are they doing?
So first of all, if you haven't seen the clip, you can go on any of the Marvel official channels to be able to see it. I think you and I both saw it off of Marvel Entertainment social media. So that is there. And obviously it's very much, I think it was planned to look like a deal. It wasn't planned. So she's like there with the director and they're like talking. And it was very clear that there was that asterisk on the actual, like the director's chair, the cast chair. And there's a couple theories. I think the biggest one is that it could be a working title. I think Marvel may be listening to the fans. I mean, we've had some changeups. There was supposed to be Silver Sentry. You know, Glenn from The Walking Dead was supposed to be from that. I can't remember his name off the top of my head right now.
That's because you're on mic. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. So, you know, he's not a part of that anymore. You've got, you know, a lot of people that are wondering how it's going to work out. How are you going to bring Bucky in with this team when he's obviously more recovered from his PTSD? So I really think that they're leaning at something more than just it being the Thunderbolts. Just like if you remember correctly, Civil War, before it was Civil War, it was Serpent Society for Captain America.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so they got flagged for that, and they decided to change it from Serpent Society to Civil War. And so it's not unheard of for Marvel to change things. Now, could it be, like, so back in Iron Man 3, Iron Man 3 was under the working title of Caged Heat.
Oh.
As their working title, which was funny because if you go back to All Hail the King with Trevor Slattery, they used that production name as the name of the TV show that he was a part of with CBS.
Nice.
So there's a deep cut there. So Thunderbolts may have always been a working title, and there's referencing that this movie is going to be more than just, you know, Valentina's group of Suicide Squad members.
Well, and basically, especially considering we've seen so many iterations of Suicide Squad in cinema now. So we really have a potential preconceived notion of what this is. And I think it is the perfect moment for them to bend us on our ears, or some other colloquialism I can get wrong. I really feel like this, I'm excited, and I really feel like this movie will be taking unpredictable twists. At least that's my hope.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I feel like with the way Black Panther, Wakanda Forever ended, I really feel like this is going to be kind of like an arms race for resources. And, you know, the celestial coming on the ground is probably the focal point, because it's a new mineral or a new element, which I think is where they're going to get like the adamantium from. But at the same time, you know, you've got this political atmosphere. And so I could see them being like the UN's like response to the Avengers initiative, but we'll see. If anything, I really feel like the asterisk may have just been there to just make people talk about it, because Marvel knows if you make a little hint there, it'll drive people nuts. Oh, so
no, you're probably right on the money there.
So odds are the asterisk is Mephisto.
Oh, well, so that makes perfect sense.
Yes.
Why didn't you say that in the beginning?
Yeah.
For gosh sakes.
Like I honestly believe that Marvel is now just having fun with their fans, because I believe that the Agatha Harkness show was always going to be just called Agatha. Like, it was never going to be House of Harkness. It was never going to be Darkhold Diaries. It was never going to be Coven of Chaos, just so they could say it's been Agatha all along.
Yeah, they definitely did that. That definitely lines up. The same way they were alluding in the beginning to us that No Way Home would be a multiversal story by giving us all these title variants that they were teasing us with. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to wonder if the Marvel marketing teams are actually smarter than the script writers at this point. I got to be honest.
Now, we'll talk about this a little bit more tomorrow in fandoms, but speaking of Spider-Man, we also got the news dropping that Spider-Man 4 will probably be in production this fall.
I did not hear that. So, let me. I'm getting news out of my own program. That is fancy. Hey, Tony, one of the other things, sorry to, again, grind those gears and crank the wheel in another direction. But by the way, just so you know, it's officially, the thing she showed, it's officially just called a chair back. Okay. So there you go. Just want to throw that little tidbit out there. One of the other things, too, that I wanted to talk about that I alluded to before we plug the fact that I will be appearing on Fandoms with you tomorrow at 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 Eastern, is that, as I've, everyone on our Patreon knows, I ended up getting, as a birthday present, the thing that I never thought in this lifetime I would own, which is one of these ridiculously large 49-inch parabolic screens. And I have to tell you, the experience is absolutely amazing. The only disappointment that I have right now is that there is a ground loop issue when I'm, instead of using it, because on my regular PC, let me tell you how my day is, Tony. I wake up, fire everything up, drink some coffee, I'm reading the news, then it's time to go to work. So open up the laptop, hit a little switch a few times over here, and suddenly my 49-inch screen becomes 2 24.5s. Boom, just like that. My only complaint is when my laptop computer is connected, there's a ground loop issue, which produces a buzz in my ears. Because yes, I mostly sit here with these headphones in all day because I'm listening to things while I work or what have you. So that's my only disappointing thing. But that could be as easy as making sure that the power supply for the laptop is plugged into the exact same outlet that the mixer is on, and suddenly my pain goes away. I have to tell you, though, when I first put it in, I was dealing with mounting arm issues and knowing what was right and wrong, and honestly setting it up a little wrong at first. So this thing was probably a good almost 12 inches closer to me the first time I ever used it. When you get your head that close to a parabolic video source and it's full screen, like say you're a sad 53-year-old man that's getting killed by 12-year-olds in Fortnite all the time. And maybe that's another reason you don't have...
That never happens.
So, and that thing is that close. Honest to God, after 10 minutes, I forgot I wasn't... I was in my house. I thought I was on the island and I was one of the loopers for a brief amount of time, to be honest. It is amazing. And I wish we could get everyone in the world that has a computer and likes using monitors one of these, because it's just, oh my God.
First of all, let's just also say this, because this is like the thing I almost wanted to start the show off doing this, but like, happy birthday, by the way. I know I already messaged you happy birthday, but happy birthday, Will Wilkins, and everybody else can also wish you that as well.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. We already milked the hell out of it last week.
Well, I wasn't here last week, okay? Remember, I'm the Trent understudy. True. So if anything happens...
Oh, it's good. Thank you so much. It's good to know how often you listen. You didn't even see... You started digging that hole and you didn't even realize it, did you?
I was preparing to go on the road. I was on the road last weekend.
Oh, and you don't listen to podcasts on the road?
Not when I'm with my family. Okay, let me see. What did we do? We rocked out the whole time. Like, we were listening to music the whole way. Everybody in the car got to pick music as we were driving down the road. That's what we did. And when they all fell asleep, I'm sorry, Will, but I had to catch up on my crime junkies.
That's fine. You and my wife both, buddy. Let me tell you something. When she gets to be a passenger princess, sometimes she'll just rock the AirPod Pros so the car can do what it wants, and she's getting caught up on true crime. I respect that. It's quite all right. Anyway, the thing that I will...
And I see Miranda also said that, you know, Netheads is dangerous to listen to on the road.
No, it's not. No way. There's never anything entertaining enough to distract you. But one thing I will say that I've noticed, this is the one oddity that I picked up on, and I should have known this because there was a point where, I don't remember what manufacturer made it, but there was a time where I was dabbling in the world of Android instead of iPhone. And during that time, I had one of the... I think it was a Samsung. I don't know if it was Samsung, but the phone was called the Flex. Have you heard of it ever?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. So
yes, I dabbled in those dark days.
Yeah.
Too.
And so it was a smart device. It was a smartphone, but for some reason it was curved. I think the logic was that if you accidentally stepped on it, sat on it or whatever, the screen actually would flex and not break.
Yep.
But here's what would happen after you look at a parabolic object for long enough, the next time you look at a flat surface, Your eyes tell you that it's bending away from you because it has spent the whole time normalizing that curve coming at you. It is one of the most disconcerting things when you realize, oh my gosh, I forced my brain to lie, and now my eyes are saying, you live this lie. You live it now.
I'm sorry. I'd love to live that lie. I'm just going to say.
I don't blame you. Me too, man. Me too.
That's awesome. No, I know, but listen, you have an amazing family. By the way, if you've not looked at Will's like social media, like TikTok and whatnot, the whole Batman party was fantastic. I love the masks. And so first of all, I actually saw your wife on camera.
I know, right? And you did, but you didn't.
Exactly.
And I think that's probably the only reason why she was willing to do it is because it's like, well, they can't really see me in this. So, but yeah, that was, I didn't even realize how much of my family was in it. Well, I should, I talked to everybody. I just mean, I didn't realize that I hadn't really shown them so much because Blair's been in a few videos, but that's just been to a limited degree. Yeah. Like I was really sensitive about even showing her face for a while, but the Slurpee video, there's no hiding.
I think there was a Slurpee thing, but then I also, your older daughter, when you guys were at San Diego.
Oh yeah. San Diego Comic-Con. Emily was all over that. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. So my wife was the only one for a while there. Nobody believed she was alive or existed, not alive. Yeah, but you know what I mean? It's like, I don't think Will really has a wife. I think.
What's that smell coming from the Wilkins?
No, I didn't mean it like that. This is not Crime Junkies. Calm down. All right. Settle yourself down, mm-hmm. sir. Get yourself in check. Hey, Tony, I alluded to something a few moments ago, so I just want to make sure it's clear. If by any chance I actually get around to publishing this on time, then if you're hearing this now and it is not yet Friday, at Friday the 29th of March at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, be sure to check out the Nerd Initiative's YouTube channel because I'll be dropping in on fandoms. And Tony, what are some of the things we're going to be talking about? By the way, I just got to say, you being on Netheads every time before we do fandoms is a next level of genius that I can't believe I haven't come up with nor enforced. So as I was saying, what are we talking about tomorrow?
Oh, man, we're going to be talking about Marvel Rivals, the new video game that was just announced. We're going to be talking about the Black Panther Captain America video game.
Oh, 1943. My buddy Mark Bernardin was one of the writers on that.
Which looks beautiful. Like that story, the story scenes, the trailer by itself, getting a little bit of Dora Milaje, getting a little bit of, you know, the grandpa of T'Challa, right. Like very cool. We're going to be talking about X-Men 97, which is by far, I think it has surpassed the original series. And just think of it this way, since the trailer for, and we're going to talk, I'm going to say this. So this is we repeat if you're watching. So just be prepared. Since February 15th, when the trailer for X-Men 97 dropped, the X-Men original series, the viewership went up by 522%.
Wow. That's a bit of impact. So
it is the most anticipated, I think it was the most looked forward to animated series that Disney Plus has ever had, which I think was only rivaled by the What If series.
Mm-hmm.
So by all means, and then we're also going to be talking about a very controversial subject when it comes to Nelson Peltz, which I will let you guys look him up until we talk about him tomorrow, because I have some words, because I feel like it's Ike Perlmutter all over again. So,
oh, good times, wonderful, thanks. Way to close on a high note, buddy. Yeah, that's that. A
little bit of controversy.
Yeah, throw that in there. Way to go on that. Oh darn it, there was stuff you were talking about. I'm like, oh, I want to say so. So you have seen X-Men 97. I have not yet. So here's the question. As a person that was really kind of, you know, I only saw one or two episodes because that was the 90s and I got married in 94. Okay. So, you know, it wasn't exactly out there for me and it's not something I actively sought out. So how accessible would you say the new series is to somebody that may not have much canonical reference from the original cartoon?
Honestly, I believe you can go into it. I did not do it. A lot of people did, and go back and rewatch the series. Just because I remember a good bit of it. I would say that I would recommend going back and watching the first episode, the first X-Men episode, season one, episode one. Go look up the Days of Future Past episode just so you get familiar with Bishop. And then I would say probably the last couple episodes, just so you kind of know how it's leaning into the first episode and on. So, and then just if you know anything about the X-Men, there's a love triangle with Jean Grey, Scott Summers, and Logan. And as long as you have that in your mindset, then, you know, you'll be okay.
Awesome, man. Well, that's some good advice. I don't know how much that I can cram down before tomorrow, but hey, fingers crossed. Specifically meaning catching up on the homework and actually getting some referential items in by actually seeing it. But it's good to know that I can probably get into it with very little investment. So does the Nerd Initiative have a guide like that saying, you know, hey, if you want to watch this, make sure you catch these episodes?
We don't, but we definitely should. Well,
throw that into the ideas pool, my friend, and be sure to add me to the byline. Although all I did was bring up the idea that I'm sure Comic Book Resource and Comic Book Movie and whatever the websites have all jammed their versions of it down your throats already. So maybe it's not such a good idea. I don't know. You run with it. I don't care. Anyway, guys, it's time to wrap up because it's getting long in the tooth for Tony and a little.
Already?
Man, believe it or not, we kicked this off, relatively speaking, an hour ago. I felt the same way when I realized, wait a minute, we're 50 minutes into this already? Time goes. Here's the thing, and this is the reason every episode should just be titled Here's the Thing, because it seems like whenever this microphone is in front of my face, Here's the Thing always happens. But Tony, here's the thing, okay? In the world that we live in now with the podcasting structure as it is, right? It's definitely a whole different product from what it started out as. And it's definitely a marketplace that a lot of heavy hitters have slipped into. So where you could have been something of a person of obscurity and have a finding and help build up, you know, that opportunity isn't necessarily there anymore because it's a pool that's got a lot of people in it with a lot of big competition, forcing you out of the water and sticking your ass on the beach. And in the only reason why I do this and the reason why the time goes by is because the one reason why I love doing Netheads is because it's my excuse to talk to my friends at least once a week. All right. And the reason why the time flew by is because I enjoy talking to you. I'm glad you enjoy talking to me. Anything else you wanted to promote while we're before we wrap this shindig up?
No. I honestly can't think of anything
God,
myself.
God, you suck at this. Don't forget to go to the Nerd Initiative, guys.
I mentioned my
guys.
Patreon a couple times. Huh? Yep. So I mentioned my Patreon a couple times. You can always check out Patreon.com/ Mr. Marvelite. Definitely check out nerdinitiative.com. You'll find out all of your news that you'll need to about entertainment, especially for new comic book days on Wednesday. And be sure to check out Nerd Initiative's social media. Cell Phone Want Keys, Mickey Smith has been doing a fantastic job just reposting a lot of our team's videos, as well as doing an amazing The Day After New Comic Book Day synopsis to kind of give you guys like a good taste of what's been reviewed, so you can go to the website and see what's going on. And tonight was Wrestling Night Live. Make sure, I'm just going to say this, Friday night's Fandoms, Tuesday nights is Turn a Page, and Thursday nights is Wrestling Night Live. Be sure to check all those things out on the Nerd Initiative YouTube.
Awesome. And, you know, that willwilkins.com for every way to find me everywhere. Until next time, guys. By the way, I've been realizing something because I did a lot of trimming about the way the stuff plays for the show, right? So the show close now is much briefer. You got to spend far less time to get the hell out of this program, you know, in case, because one of the things that we do here, because, you know, in shows like Community and everything else, we always love the stinger, that little extra bit, right? So we always do the stinger. So that means I got to make people sit and listen to all that crap every single time just for them to, and unless I time it out perfectly for a 30-second jump, which that's way too much work to do, I'm making them sit through it. So I realized we got to trim it down. But then the problem is, I also realized for the longest time now, you know, I'm going, we'll be back. And then Trent would say soon. And then we go into the next thing with the announcer guy saying, we'll be back soon. Moments after we already said it. So it's stupid. I meant to ask you about this before the show. I had an idea. And that is that one of two phrases gets uttered as we go off. Because it represents two different parts of a very major fandom. Both of which, very intimate to me. So one person will say, until next time, my name is Will.
And I'm Tony.
Live long and prosper. And I'm supposed to do the hand gesture. And then you would say, may the force be with you. Right?
Oh, okay.
See, and then, or the other way around. Whoever among us is the more Star Wars than Star Trek. So that was my idea, right? And it plays well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, then we should probably do that. Until next time, folks, my name's Will.
And I'm Tony.
And live long and prosper.
And may the force be with you.
Netheads. Netheads. We'll be back soon.
Goodbye.
This has been a Smodco Internet production. Sip only at smodcast.com. Usually I save the stinger for some funny quip that I come up with to try and make myself feel brilliant when I listen to this later, but instead, one of the best comments in chat also that happened tonight after Miranda Janelle said, we're a dangerous podcast to listen to. I'm going to read you this one because out of context, I don't even know what you must think of this. Netheads is dangerous to listen to, right, on the road. Will starts talking about nut milk and you laugh so hard you nearly crash. Tony, any questions?
I don't want to, Will. I don't feel comfortable.
Fair enough.